Exodus chapter number 31. I have worked on pronouncing this name. It's not an easy name of the Lord to pronounce. It's the name for the Lord that sanctifies us, Jehovah Makadishkem. Okay? Now I said it once. I'm not going to say it again in the Sunday school hour. That's the formal name of the Hebrew name of this particular truth that we find throughout Scripture. In Exodus 31, verse 13, we find the first mention of that name in Scripture. The Bible says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." This name means holy, or to be set apart. It is the process of sanctification. We also use the word separation describing sanctification or holiness. Here, God says, "I want you to keep the Sabbath because I want it to be a reminder to you that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." Sanctification is the separation of an object or a person to the dedication of that which is holy. To make holy means to set apart from secular or from sin unto sacred. All right? As God works the process of sanctification in our lives, He is setting us more and more apart unto Him, unto that which is sacred. Well, preacher, why would anyone want to be sanctified or separated or holy? Did you know that God designed the Christian now to find his fulfillment in a life that is set apart unto the Lord? That is, God put something in us when he put new life in us. He put something in us that finds our greatest fulfillment when we are set apart unto the Lord. That's the way that God designed the Christian life. Later this year in the fall, I have a series of messages I want to preach to you that Christianity really is separation. In other words, Christianity equals separation in our lives. Not a bad thing. Sanctification or separation or personal holiness is looked upon as negative. Man, I got to give up this and this and this. We only look at the negative side of it. But there's a very positive side of sanctification. And that is that I become more and more set apart unto the Lord. God gets more and more of me as I learn truth and I yield to that truth in my life. Sin may seem to bring pleasure, but you know in the long run that sin is really self-destruction. And so for the Christian to separate himself from sin may look like, man, this is hard. Oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, why do I have to give that up? But in reality, we know the end of that. We know where that leads. And so separation unto the Lord brings life. Here in Exodus, God says, "I am the one that does sanctify." It makes sense to live in a way that reflects our special identity as a child of God and to reflect our purpose, to reflect God in our lives to others. Therefore, God sanctifies us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Ah, that's hard. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" And the Bible goes on and says, "What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" In other words, you know what? A true Christian doesn't really feel at home with somebody that's serving the enemy. Right? There's no harmony there, the Scripture teaches us. And so, why would somebody, preacher, want to be separated or holy or sanctified? Why? Think about it this way. God has chosen you and me as believers to be special, to be different, to be holy as a testimony of his love and grace in a world that is infected with sin. Man, people don't have victory over things in their lives. So when a Christian lives a holy life in front of the world and they can see, boy, this Christian can live victoriously. Boy, this Christian can live joyfully. And look, they don't have to participate in all the junk that I'm participating in. How do they do that? Oh, they're a child of God. Holiness, then, is the grateful response to the gift of salvation. God is holy, and if we want to know him better, we must learn to live for him on his terms. And he commands us to be holy. So I want to look at sanctification in the Old Testament this morning, the God who sanctifies, and then sanctification in the New Testament. Shortly after Israel was redeemed as a nation, God had a desire for them. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 19. Exodus chapter 19. And I want you to look with me at verse number 6. God had redeemed Israel. I want to make a distinction here. There'll be some applications I bring out of the Old Testament. But I want you to be reminded that Israel is not the church. Okay? And so God redeemed the nation of Israel. He called his people out. Israel is the group of people that God deals with in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, we know that God kind of puts Israel on a hold and the church age begins and God deals with the church. Two separate entities. That's very important for you to understand and very important for you to believe. Otherwise, your end times will get really, really skewed. So we're dealing with Israel in the Old Testament here. And in verse number 6 of Exodus chapter 19, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." In Leviticus chapter 20, similar words by God to the nation of Israel, "And ye shall be holy unto me." Again, this is the positive aspect of sanctification in our lives, or being set apart, is that we're holy unto the Lord. Listen, any decision that I make to put something out of my life or to bring something into my life that will set me more apart unto God should be for that purpose. Holiness and sanctification or separation is not so I can check off a box in my life. Holiness or separation in my life is not so I can be better than somebody else that's not so holy in our eyes. This is not the purpose. This is not why God said be holy. God said be holy unto me. So when I make decisions in my life to set myself more apart from the world and more apart unto the Lord, my motivation should be, Lord, I want to be more of yours. Okay? A lot of confusion out there today on holiness and separation. A lot of negative talk about it. And I think one of the reasons is we forget that there's a positive aspect to it. And that is, Lord, I want to be more of yours, or I am separating myself unto you, O Lord. Certainly, as we study these first couple passages in the Old Testament, it's very clear that God said, I want you to be holy unto me. For I am, go to Leviticus chapter 20 and see how serious God is about this. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Again, speaking to his people, "And ye shall be holy unto me," verse 26 of Leviticus 20, "for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people." I've called you out from other people. Isn't that what he's done with us, brother? He's called us out. He's, in a sense, severed us from other people, that ye should be what? Mine. What is this whole thing about? That you and I are his. That we belong to him. He wants all of us. As Brother Peter's talked about, one aspect that he wants is our tongue. He wants our mind. He wants to sanctify us through our lives so that he has more and more of us. That's being set apart unto the Lord. And so separation is never hypocritical when the heart of it is that God gets more of me. Dear Christian, may I remind you this morning and remind me that that living a pure and a holy life should have the motivation that God, I am separating more unto you. Now, you may get accused of being hypocritical. You may be accused of being hateful. You may be accused of a whole bunch of things. But if you're accused, it's a good time to go back and evaluate your motive for why you say no to this and yes to this. And is that motive, Lord, that you would have me, that I would be yours? We have some couples that are getting ready to get married in our church. And in the process of getting to know the person that they're getting to know, you know what? They're severing themselves from every other option. Okay? They're coming down to one option in life. That is their mate. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. Are they bad because they severed everybody else off? When we talk in counseling, we talk about, you know, you only have one soulmate in life. It's not your mom. It's not your dad. It's not your brother or sister. Those people aren't to be the people that you're to confide in. The person that you're to be most transparent with is who? Well, your mate, right? Does that mean that they become mean to everybody else? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's just the way it's supposed to be so that their mate has all of them, right? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's the way that God made it. Leave and cleave. We talk about that principle. Hey, you have to leave family. Hey, some things got to change a little bit. Why? Because now there's a front and center person in your life, the most important person in your life, your soul partner, your mate. And to some degree, they separate themselves unto their mate. And we wouldn't say that was a bad thing, right? And it's not a bad thing to separate ourselves unto the Lord either. In fact, out of anybody else that we should separate unto, we should separate ourselves mostly unto the Lord. And God teaches us that. I want you to understand this morning that personal separation is not cultic. Our church has been called a cult because we actually try to preach and teach and practice personal separation in some things. If you want to call me a cult for setting myself more apart unto the Lord, then call me a cult. But really, a cult is something that denies that Jesus Christ is God. And so I just want to remind you this morning, you may have that accusation from time to time. And again, my motive needs to always be checked as to why I'm doing what I'm doing. Am I doing it to be unto the Lord? But because we practice some sort of personal separation, and another cult might practice that, or a cult might practice that, we get grouped in. And that's hogwash. A cult is somebody that denies our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be reminded of that. It is simply, personal separation and sanctification is simply that the world gets less of me and God gets more of me. That is the heartbeat of why we live separated lives. God gets more of me. The world gets less of me. Decisions requiring sanctification and separation in our lives must come from a heart that understands our calling. Boy, when we were saved, God called us to what? God called us to be His. That's He saved us to be His. It requires us to understand God's heart for us to be His more and more, and with a desire in our hearts to be closer to God and please God more than anything else. And we don't measure sanctification by what somebody else does. We measure sanctification by what God says in His Word and what can bring me closer to the Lord, that God has more of me. And so the Old Testament gives us a clear call to holiness. Secondly, it gives us the goal of holiness. Turn back to Exodus 31. Exodus chapter number 31. We're remembering one of the names of God this morning, and God is the one who sanctifies. Notice in this passage where it gives us this name of God that there is a responsibility on the children of Israel to do what? Somebody help me. They shall keep what? The Sabbath. They shall keep the Sabbath. And the Lord says this, it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. This great truth should have motivated Israel to live sanctified, holy lives the other 6 days of the week. Hey, on the Sabbath, the world had a way of doing things. And God said, I want you to keep the Sabbath. There's some very specific things in the Old Testament related to the Sabbath. But why did he ask them to keep the Sabbath? That it would be a reminder to them that they would know that it's the Lord that what? Sanctifies. By them setting that day aside unto the Lord, right? Why? That it would remind them that it's the Lord that sanctifies them individually. By them setting a day apart unto the Lord, it would remind them every time that day came around, oh God, we're setting something apart, we're sanctifying something that God asks us to sanctify and make holy, and it reminds us that the Lord sanctifies us, is what God was teaching his people. Now, we're in the New Testament. We don't believe in a Saturday Sabbath. But 1 Corinthians 16 teaches us what? That we gather together on the first day of the week. First day of the week. Now, question, do you think that the same principle is true? That God wanted a day in the New Testament for us to set apart unto him? I believe that's what he teaches in the New Testament. All right? That, hey, Lord's Day, first day of the week, you should come together. Worship me together. Okay? What should it remind us of today? That God sanctifies us, doesn't he? God asks us to set apart a day unto him, first day of the week, showing that God is first in my life, and it can be a reminder that God sanctifies me. What Brother Peters used as an illustration, again, ties right into the lesson this morning. A lot of people not setting that day apart anymore, giving that principle up in the Scriptures. And it's to be a reminder to us. It reminds us that God set us apart for himself. That's special. It reminds me this morning that God wants time with me. God wants time with me. God wants fellowship with me. It reminds me this morning that God cares for us. When we got saved, he set us apart at the moment that we got saved. Positionally, he set us apart. I'll show you that in a moment. The goal of holiness in our lives should never be a step ahead of everyone else, but a reminder that God is the one that sanctifies us. So, think about this. Reason with me now. If God is the one that does the sanctifying, and here's a Christian, and God works in their heart and brings them to a conviction in their lives, and people criticize their conviction. Wait a second. God sanctifies. So if God sanctifies something in your life and causes you to make a change in your life, and somebody else finds out about it and kind of mocks it or criticizes it, wait, who are they criticizing? Who does the sanctifying? God does the sanctifying. We don't sanctify ourselves, brethren. God does the sanctifying. Somebody comes to a personal conviction, boy, they change a course in their life on some front. You know what we ought to do? We ought to give God glory. Because God does the sanctifying in individuals' lives. And we ought to be very cautious of criticizing somebody or mocking somebody that has taken something and applied it personally and felt like God has dealt with their soul about it. Wait a second, God does the sanctifying. We ought to be very cautious about that. It is interesting that many of the Ten Commandments including honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, or dealing with adultery. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you know all of them had a penalty of death under the law? At least those three of the Ten Commandments all had a penalty of death. You know, God knows what's best for us. When He leads us to be holy and He speaks to us about things in our lives that need to be changed, that need to be set apart unto Him, God knows what He's talking about. Here are these three things He laid out to Israel, and He said, hey, this is part of growth, is obedience to my commands. This is part of being set apart unto me. And He put a penalty of death on those things. That's how serious sanctification is unto the Lord. Hey, keep the Sabbath, because if you keep the Sabbath, it's going to remind you that that I sanctify you, I've set you apart unto myself. And if not, there's a real heavy penalty on that. Us setting ourselves apart unto the Lord is very serious unto the Lord. Let's look at, if you will, a passage in Leviticus chapter number 11. As we look at the Old Testament, what is some of the goals of sanctification? The Bible says here in Leviticus chapter 11, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Why is holiness important? Why is sanctification, separation important in my life? Because it reflects God to others. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Hey, we have one shot at this in one life to reflect our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to others. And one of the ways that we do that is through personal holiness and sanctification. So one of the goals of my life should be to reflect the holiness of God to others. That's why I make decisions. I want to be first set apart unto Him, but secondly, I want to be a reflector of God's holiness to others. Others don't see holiness. In the world, we see a lot of unholiness. And so who is the light, or who's going to be the light that reflects God's holiness to others? That's you and me. Be holy, for I am holy. By the way, it's not just in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. Be holy, for I am holy. And so we are to be a reflection of others. That is one of the reasons for sanctification, why God separates us or sanctifies us. Then secondly, there ought to be a rejection of sin. Another reason why we want God to sanctify us and set us apart and yield to His truth so that can take place is that there's a rejection of sin in our lives. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Of course, in the Old Testament, you know, there's a moral law, there's a ceremonial law, there's a civil law. And in Leviticus chapter 20, we're dealing with moral laws. On a moral law, one of the things that you need to understand on a moral law that's different than a ceremonial law is God's stance on moral laws never change. Okay? And so in the context of a bunch of things that we're to avoid, separate ourselves from, yield unto the Lord, He writes in verse number 7 of Leviticus chapter 20, sanctify yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Now it's interesting to me, verse number 7 says, sanctify yourselves. And verse number 8 says, I am the Lord which sanctify you. Well, the Bible's speaking out of both sides of its tongue, preacher. No. He said, I am the Lord that sanctify you when it came to keeping the Sabbath. But then He said, make sure that you keep the Sabbath. You see, God does do a work in our lives to sanctify us, but there is a man side of it that requires a yielding to God's truth in our lives. Now, in this particular passage, he gives us a whole bunch of things that we are to sanctify ourselves from. In verse number 6, Leviticus 20, verse number 6, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from his, among his people." Oh, we're not to be involved in Satanism and Ouija boards and trying to flirt with spirits in this world. By the way, they're real. Hey, part of separation, part of sanctification in my life is, hey, stay away from those things. In verse number 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Boy, something that ought to change in a Christian's life, in a young person's life, is how they treat mom and dad. They ought not to curse. Hey, God sanctifies. God can take that kind of heart and turn it. Verse number 10, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." Hey, here's another aspect of separation, specifics. What I found in the study is that every time he's speaking about holiness and sanctification, he links it to specifics. Huh. We don't want to talk about specifics. We want to talk about generalities. But God's word deals with specifics. Verse number 11, "The man that lieth with his father's wife," this is a marriage within family, "hath uncovered his father's nakedness." Hey, we need to deal with that. Verse number 13, "Bestiality, homosexuality, if a man also lie with mankind and lieth with a woman." Hey, believers shouldn't do these things. God sanctifies. God brings people out of those things. And so, I want you to see that part of it is rejection of sin. Part of it is a reflection of God's holiness to others. On the remaining few minutes that we have together, I want you to look in the New Testament with me at some verses. And sanctification in the New Testament, God is the one that sanctifies. And the first thing I want you to see is that salvation means positional sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Make it very plain this morning. There is no sanctification without redemption. Without a person being saved, they cannot take one step in sanctification. All right? Sanctification begins with salvation, and we are positionally sanctified. That means positionally God has set us apart. Okay, we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a number of other verses I could take you to, but in verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed." Now watch this. Here comes somebody, and they are an extortioner. They come to a Baptist church. They hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and they feel a weight about their sin. And they see that Jesus Christ is the answer. And they are saved. Right? They come to Christ in faith. They're an extortioner. They're effeminate. They're a drunkard. They're a reviler. They're an abuser of themselves with mankind, and they get saved. Do people still get saved like that today? Well, if they could get saved like that back in that day in the filthy city of Corinth, then they could get saved like that today, couldn't they? Now, at the moment that they get saved, they are positionally, they're washed, and they are set apart unto the Lord. At that moment, positionally, they're set apart. Does that mean that everything has changed in their lives? Oh, no. No, we need to be careful. We need to be patient and understand that they have been positionally sanctified, but now there is going to be a progressive sanctification in their lives. Brethren, progressive sanctification can never start in somebody's life until they are first saved. All right? We need to understand that. This complete salvation is accompanied by a holy calling. at the moment that they are saved, they are called unto holiness. Brethren, don't try to dress up somebody that's not a Christian. Don't expect that their speech is going to be clean. They're not sanctified. They're not saved. Don't try to change them from the outside in. There must be something internal that changes. And that's when the Holy Spirit moves in and saves them and positionally sanctifies them and now sets them up to be able to grow in sanctification. Progressive sanctification. I want you to see in Acts chapter 20, the Bible says, "And now, brethren," verse number 32, you can turn there. "God, who is holy, makes us holy." This is the problem with a work salvation, right? If you're here this morning, you believe that somehow your works are going to help you. You have a misunderstanding of God's holiness. A work salvation means that we make ourselves set apart to God through our own merits. Okay? An unholy person can't make themselves holy. God makes holy. God is the one that sanctifies. We as unholy sinners cannot make ourselves holy. Only one who is holy can make someone holy. That's God. In Acts chapter 20, the Bible says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I'm not an English scholar, but I do know the difference between active voice and passive voice. Active voice means the subject of a sentence is actually doing the action. The Bible doesn't say here that among all them that sanctify themselves. The Bible says, "among all them which are sanctified." That means they're the recipient of something that someone else did. Here in Acts chapter 20, it's clear, this is in the passive voice, that we are the recipients of something that God did in our lives. He made us holy at the point of salvation. Dear Christian, rejoice in the fact that God sanctified you. Part of salvation is being sanctified. "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints," in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Now, what is the blessing of this positional sanctification? Turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, we're almost done here, last verse that we'll look at this morning. The blessing of positional sanctification, and we'll have to continue and finish out the lesson next week. What is the blessing of positional sanctification? This is sweet. Verse number 11 of Hebrews 2. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." Read on. "For which cause he," that's the one that sanctifieth, that's God, "is not ashamed to call them," those are the ones that are sanctified, "brethren." Huh. One of the sweet blessings of sanctification, positional sanctification, at the moment of salvation, God sets us apart unto himself, is that Jesus Christ, the one that sanctifies, looks at us and, well, we're all of one. We're all a child of God, those that are saved. And so I can call Jesus, I can call Warren Dirks, brother. And Sarah Wachowiak, sister. The scripture says here, "for which cause he's not ashamed to do that." Hey, these are my family members. Why? Because we've been sanctified. Because the one that sanctifieth us is not ashamed to call us brethren. Do you realize that your family privilege and your family name spiritually? Yes, I have a brother. His name is Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And that's one of the blessings of positional sanctification. So we will remember today the Lord who sanctifies.